And I guess we've said this 100 million times this year. Boy, that's a game they really coulda, shoulda won. But on the bright side, Bruce Pearl got the hell beat out of him tonight up in Lexington. So there is a bright spot. As a friend of mine who's in the business told me tonight, John Calipari gave it to Bruce Pearl tonight. He took he held no quarter on him. 110-75. Here, brother, put those on. I'm extremely proud. I am extremely proud of the way the Vols played tonight, and I guess for now that's going to have to be enough. They've got to do a little more and get in to the NIT, which again, season it's been. Tennessee falls on the year as we're live with you, Tony Basilio, reporting here in Knoxville tonight. Tennessee, despite a 9.5 minute stretch where they did not score a basket, did not score a point rather, has an 18 footer at the end of the game. Josh Richardson missed a wide open three that could have given the Vols the win. And he missed a, what else did he miss? He missed that 17-18 footer to tie the game. If you want to get in with us tonight on your Smartway, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics, Tennessee basketball overtime, as we talk about Tennessee losing a close one tonight. The Vols are now 14-12 on the year, 6-8 in the league, and Tennessee was looking for their fifth road win and came really, really close to getting it tonight. Let's bring Keith Hatfield in here, my partner, low these many years. Keith Hatfield, I welcome you in. This isn't fun. Tonight wasn't pretty. Talk to me here. What'd you think of tonight?
That's an incredibly close game, Tony. One play here or there. The difference in the game essentially comes down to Tennessee rims out a shot, and Derek Reese has the rebound.
Yep.
And Stephon Moody steals it from him. Goes down, gets fouled, and makes two free throws.
That's the deal.
That was pretty much the extent of the offense the last 2 minutes of the game.
Yep. And I don't want to pick on Reese because he tries. That's a rebound you absolutely, Keith, have to get there. And that's the deal.
We can't have a guy my size take it away from him.
Correct. And Ole Miss plays stupid, which helped. It helped matters tonight. Another great example of how coaches refuse to play zone defenses, Keith. And it is bizarre, but tonight Kennedy went away from it a couple times, and each time he did, Tennessee put on a spurt, and it allowed Tennessee to operate, and it really allowed Moore tonight to get going, because that's his game. They get it to him, and he has a man to beat, and he can take anybody off the dribble that's a big man in this league. We've seen it all year. You look at Tennessee tonight, Richardson just looks like a guy that's out of juice. We've been saying it for a while now. He's out of juice. Mostella looks absolutely lost, and yet Tennessee still almost got out of there with a win tonight somehow with effort, I think.
Well, that's what this team's been built on all year. I'm still a little bit befuddled as to why people continue to go out and guard Armani Moore and give him the opportunity to drive on him.
Yep.
I'm still a bit. Of course, I'm befuddled as to why we come out and immediately don't guard Stephon Moody at the start of the game. I wonder if there's some problem, if maybe, despite the fact that all the games are on television now, that somehow game film doesn't make it to some of the coaches occasionally.
Maybe the games are so unwatchable that even the coaches are having trouble watching them for video reasons, Keith.
That would explain some of the stuff I've seen scouting-wise in this league.
Yeah, Tennessee's bugaboo all year has been that they don't guard the perimeter. But you're right. I mean, to leave Moody out there, essentially, and they did tighten up on him in the second half to the point where he threw up a couple desperation shots, including that last one that Carroll Lawson called a good look. He shot the thing from 30 feet. That's not a good look for anybody in the game, let alone him.
I don't know. Other than Jarvis Summers, I don't really know who on that team. I'm not sure I wouldn't rather have him taking a 30-footer than the ball being thrown to Anthony Perez or Sebastian Saiz.
Yeah, you can do
Ole Miss, that's the guy who's not getting any credit this year for doing a pretty good coaching job. That's a pretty limited Ole Miss team. And they're going to the NCAA tournament.
What did you think about the call when they gave the ball?
They need to change the rule.
And what? Why?
Because the idea that was indisputable video evidence is absolute hogwash. I mean, if you want to say, okay, we're going to go to the monitor and not to break out a bunch of Latin and legal mumbo jumbo, there's different standards, Tony, in the laws to how you, when something goes on appeal. There's okay, the ruling's only changed if it's clearly erroneous, or there's something called de novo review and some other reviews, and those are essentially, okay, the appellate court's going to look at it and see what they think, with maybe a presumption of correctness on the original, but they're going to look at it. They should just say, look, we're going to go to the monitor, and we're going to make a call about what we see on the monitor.
Correct, because if you're talking about indisputable video evidence, there's no way that you can come back with that call against what you're saying is what's the legal term for that? It's standard. It's a standard you have to rise to there. There's no way you can get over that standard.
Yeah, some sort of burden of proof. You look at some kind of standard of review. Hey, if you want to go to, hey, we're going to look at the monitor and then we're just going to make a call off the monitor, I don't care. If that's what they want to do with it, I'd be perfectly fine if they did away with replay all the time.
Correct. They don't need it.
Other than clock issues. I don't think anybody should ever get screwed because of the clock. But as far as balls going out of bounds, I guess I could be convinced that it's okay for them to check to see if a shot's a three or not. But as far as going to see who the ball went off of, I've got issues with that.
How about the one in the first half? At the beginning of the second half, they were checking to see who committed an offensive foul. I'm going, you don't need to be reviewing that. You don't need to be.
You know what the great part of that was, Tony? It shows that everything with Carmichael is reputation. Because they called that foul on him, and he wasn't within 30 feet of it initially. They initially called that foul on him, as if Tennessee had him handling the ball in the middle of the floor.
On a fast break.
Yeah, as if Willie Carmichael was leading a fast break.
Yeah, and so the referee had brain gas. We've all been there.
I think it's pretty simple. The default call in a Tennessee game is a foul on 24. Because more than likely he's fouled somebody.
Hatfield joining.
Let's go with that.
Hatfield in the mix and in the hunt with us tonight, 865-200-5402. And the ball went off Saiz, by the way. And in your immortal words, in the group text I was looking at, you ought to be a part of Keith Hatfield's group text. You wouldn't like him if you saw some of his texts. But you had a pretty good line. You were talking about, Keith, how he was living La Vida Loca on that play.
Saiz looks like Ricky Martin's stunt double. And that was a little frustrated earlier when Willie Carmichael got muscled out. And that ends up being a point or two that they got cheap right there, because anything Ole Miss gets from their post players is gravy for them. Because those guys, they wouldn't score those guys generally wouldn't score double figures if you locked them in the gym by themselves.
Saiz looks like, and you can quote me on this, Saiz looks like, to me, Hatfield, a cross between Ricky Martin, Saul Smith, and a guy that will end up owning a chain of Holiday Inns one day.
Elder Barge is probably in that.
He's going to own a chain of Holiday Inns one day. Is that a jingoistic thing for me to say?
I'm not going to concern myself with it, Tony.
Ole Miss tonight, 14 points off Tennessee's 13 turnovers, many coming in the second half. Keith, why is a team that plays, and by the way, 865-200-5402, right now we have no calls on hold. which doesn't surprise me. People are beaten to death, feel beaten to death at this point. And it's been such a long week, and we're all sick and tired of looking at each other. Keith, why does Tennessee make those stupid errors each game where they bounce the ball off a guy's leg? I mean, just, they play so hard, and they gave themselves such a chance to be in that game tonight, and yet they played so stupidly with those stupid turnovers. Those stupid turnovers get old, man.
They're not a very good passing team is one of the problems. The one pass that hits Hubs in the shin is just, that's just atrocious. You can't, nobody's ever, no, there's never been anybody that's played that's going to catch that pass. You short hop a guy in the bottom part of his shin with the pass. That's going to be a turnover every time. And it bounces out. And again, that was another one that got Moody out on the break. And the thing is, sure, we cut him loose a couple of times and he made some threes, but the bigger problem is, we gave him four to 6 points in a really tight game on runouts on live ball turnovers. And this team doesn't have enough of a margin of error to be giving away points.
Smartway, Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. I am Tony Basilio along with you. I want to thank my man, Cobra tonight, Cobra Bryan, who's here with Sensible Roofing Solutions, for his sponsorship of the show throughout the year. He's sitting in studio tonight as a special guest. I also want to give a shout out to my man Govbone, who's listening somewhere in time, who's spending his last night as a resident of Knoxville. Hopefully we'll get him back though on the docket. I say that Knoxville, especially on the north side, is like the Hotel California. And I say the Govbone's about to find out that you can check out any time you like, but you can never leave. And he's going to boomerang right back here, brud. You can go ahead and put that back. As the great Taylor Dane once said, Govbone, love will lead you back. As the great Taylor Dane once said in a really bad 80s pop song. Go ahead, Hatfield, you were saying.
One thing you see about how tough it is to be the best player on a team, be it a good team, bad team, or whatever, Josh Richardson's ended up in an absolutely no-win situation on that last play. The only winning scenario for him there is that, because if he passes that ball to punter who's wide open at the head of the key and punter misses that, people immediately kill him for not taking the open 18-footer. Because that's what people have killed LeBron James for years. Oh, if you're the best player, you've always got to take the last shot. Derp, 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 derp. So, Josh Richardson ends up in an absolutely no-win situation at the end of the game.
Keith, why are we so much better on the road than we are at home?
I mean,
here's the thing. I know it's matchups, okay? We shoot the ball better on the road. We shot it better tonight.
Well, Ole Miss, I don't think anybody's going to confuse Ole Miss defensively with Kentucky. I think that's part of the matchups in the schedule is we've played. I think we see now, certainly they were a little better when we played them because they've had some injuries, but I think everybody now sees how awful Missouri is. Mississippi State's probably turned out to be actually considerably better than I thought they were. But you look at those four road wins, South Carolina's up and down, Vanderbilt. The thing is, I think if you reverse the schedules, Tony, and we played the games on the road. If we played the games on the road and we played them at home, I think if you flip the schedule, the record would be about the same.
That's an interesting thought.
Maybe we beat Ole Miss here, but I don't know. I mean, Ole Miss, like I said, Ole Miss is an NCAA tournament team. That would have been the best win of the year for Tennessee if they pulled that off tonight. That to me would have been better going in there as well as they've played. What's that now for Ole Miss? 8 out of 9, I think.
9 out of 10.
I think if you go in, if you win that game on the road against an NCAA tournament team that's that hot, that would have been a better win than winning at home against Butler.
Let me look that up. Briny Boy Hartman sent me that yesterday. I find myself being feeling so worn down by this tonight. That Ole Miss team we saw tonight is two games ahead of LSU and Georgia coming into today. LSU has now, or Ole Miss has now won 8 of their last 9. You were right. They were winners of seven. If you look at them,
Tony, if they hadn't suffered a couple of ridiculous losses early in the year at home to, I think, Charleston Southern maybe, and somebody else of that ilk, they'd be looking at probably, with the people they've beaten and the fact that they're the team that honestly came to close, that they and A&M both scared the bejesus out of Kentucky. Ole Miss is probably looking at a 5 or 6 seed if they didn't have those awful losses early in the season.
To our phones we go, 865-200-5402. If you want to get in the hunt and in the mix with us, all lines are currently jammed. I was hoping to get you a box score, but the kind of day that it's been, my computer did the big reset right in the Google Chrome crashed and blew everything out. Let's go back to our phones. Donnie Tindall at the end of the game had a clenched fist, Keith, and he said, draw the foul at the end of the game tonight. Did you see that?
Yeah.
He wanted him to drive with that ball, I think.
Well, I wish he had simply kept. It looked like there was a lane if he simply kept going all the way to the rim, but that's easy to say. You get in that situation. I can't complain with the look. Josh Richardson's probably about as good a mid-range shooter as he is in college basketball, and the ball goes halfway down. It's always my philosophy that you play to win right there on the road if you can. I would have preferred he throw the ball to punter and try to end the game there, because I don't like Tennessee's chances in overtime. But that's splitting hairs.
Let's go to
Tennessee got a really good shot. I don't think there's anything on that last possession to be terribly upset about.
Some people are asking on Twitter tonight if you go for 2, if you go for 3 there. I'm with you. I'm a play for the win guy. That's why I loved seeing Richardson shoot that 3 there with 10 seconds left. Now, we were able to get the board, and it was able to allow us to draw something up with 4.8 seconds left. But...
Well, I think you play for 3 and try to end the game there, because you're not the better team. If I've got the better team and my team's just been off most of the night, but we've come back and gotten into that situation, sure, you go ahead. If you've got the better team, you always want to play longer for the most part. But in the scenario tonight on the road, especially, I would have preferred to go for 3, but like I said, I'm not going to quibble over the shot they got. That's your best player shooting a shot he makes all the time, and you rattle it out. There's not much to complain about there.
865-200-5402. Tennessee is, as Rocky Top Insider says tonight, they're heading for the consolation prize. And you know what? If these guys can win a couple games down the stretch, get the NIT, give us a few more home games, give them a few more games, get in the NIT and make some noise. Tennessee has 12 losses now. 6 of the losses have come by 8 points or less. And the line in tonight's game was 7, and the Vols had a chance, had a look at it, there at the end. So, hard for me to really have a problem with anything tonight. I hate replay. I'm not in love with what they did there at the end, the very end. I love Richardson shooting the 3 ball with 10 seconds left, and it went down and came back out. I'm really puzzled as to what's happened to Dietrich Mostella. Kevin O'Neill used to talk about freshman players hitting walls. I think this guy is flat knocked out. I think he's hit a wall, and he's...
Well, he made a turnover in the middle of the floor, just a giveaway to...
Ah!
That was... just atrocious.
All-time bad. That was all-time bad. Maybe the worst play of the year.
That was just a giveaway. Well, Tennessee had a flurry right there of about 3 plays where they gave away 6 points or so on live ball turnovers, and in a tight game like that, this team just doesn't. And they don't. And it's not. It's different if you're having those live ball turnovers, if you're a pressing team, and you're playing a high possession game. When you play the game at the tempo Tennessee's playing it right now, you can't. You just can't give the ball away like that and give away points when you're playing games in the high 50s, low 60s. That's not going to work. You're not going to win any games that way.
And that's exactly what happened tonight. It's another night where you look at the numbers and you say, boy, could have won that game. Tennessee field goal percentage, 43% to 39 for Ole Miss. Tennessee, Ole Miss attempts 54 shots, Tennessee 51. Tennessee 39% to 35% from three-point land. The Vols hit 9 three-balls on the night. Tennessee 57% from the line, Ole Miss 60. Tennessee only goes to the line 7 times on the night, Ole Miss 10. The number that kills Tennessee tonight, and a couple of them were just stupid, unforced, moronic, lazy, bad, awful. They turned the ball over 13 times to Ole Miss a 6.
You've got to cause more turnovers than that, too.
No question. Ole Miss with 14 points off turnovers. Tennessee only had 5. Tennessee, here's the number that really gets me. Tennessee out-rebounds Ole Miss 37 to 28. Tennessee pulls down 11 offensive rebounds to Ole Miss's 9. Tennessee has 20 points in the paint to Ole Miss's 18. Tennessee has 3 blocks to their 2. But the steals were 9 to 3. And Tennessee even had more assists in the game, 16 to 13. Tennessee was tied 9 times. They had the lead 8 times, and they lose the game tonight. They played with the lead, by the way, for 14 minutes tonight, while Ole Miss had the lead for 22 minutes. We'll go to the phones. 865-200-5402. Get as many people in here as we possibly can. And we'll start things off on your smart way. Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, Tennessee Basketball Overtime with our first caller. Hello and welcome.
Hey, guys. This is Don.
Hey, Donnie.
Well, it was hard. I got the inkling that things came to a halt when we Moore missed that front end there. We had that 1-point lead, and that's where it set for the last 2-3 minutes till we had the foul. Just can't miss. And when you only go to the line 7 times, you can't miss 3 of them, that's for sure. But, teams doing more than what they're supposed to be doing. And, disappointed, but can't be down on them. They give you your money's worth every time they go on the floor.
I can't argue with that. Yeah. And tonight, look at everything they had to overcome, Don. How about the officials going to the screen and coming back with that call as irrefutable evidence, Don? Not that you want to complain about officiating tonight.
No. Well, I'm not saying, I don't know. I mean, it could have went either way. But if it's supposed to be indisputable, kind of reminds me of a few football games I can remember, where all of a sudden indisputable just means, not really. But, I knew right then, now we got a foul, and they're a good free throw shooting team, and I figured that's what was going to happen. But like you said, when you come down and you get a wide open 3, and then a pretty good look at a 2, either win or tie, it's just the breaks. And like you pointed out, when you've just handed them 6 or 8 points on just stupid turnovers, that there was no reason for it, like the one that bounced off Hubs' shin, and then, of course, the one Mostella did. And as good as Armani played tonight, and he played really well overall, he took one of our last shots over the last couple of minutes, and he went going to the rim, and that ball hit the backboard and never even touched the rim. I'm like, how do you miss it? It's one thing if it goes up there and rolls around and comes off like a couple of his head, but that one just flabbergasted me how that it never even touched iron. I'm like, I don't know what's going on right there. But Josh had those 2 shots we just mentioned, and he had another pull-up jumper in the last couple 3 minutes. So when your best shooter misses 3 late, I mean, that's going to bite you in the rear, right?
No question. And when you have an 8-point lead, And,
oh, yeah.
And you lose it like that in the blink of an eye because you are careless with the basketball. You'd even force them to come back on your, even force them to come back in a set defense.
No. Not only do we have an 8-point lead, we have an 8-point lead with the ball. And that's when the turnover barrage happened. It's like they lost concentration because they had their 8-point lead. I don't know if it was in shock. But again, the fact that you had a chance to win, when you went over 9 minutes, that was 4-point the first time. I mean, the shock was we had a 3-point lead at halftime after going 9 minutes the first half.
How bad is the basketball in this league when that's the case?
It's horrible. I mean, you know, I know you guys have been talking about this, but I'm not sure if somebody just went out and found, if there's such a thing out there, 4 or 5 guys that could shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily furries, but just shoot.
Just shoot.
That you can go out and compete with anybody, even if they weren't athletes. If they could just shoot. I seen a guy from Alabama, I was just kind of half watching while I was waiting online. And little white boy, he must have been 35 foot, you know, and he just drilled a 3 hour while ago to get, Alabama back in the game. When I first flipped over, Georgia was hammering. So. You know,
yeah, Georgia's fixing to cough this thing up here on the road. They're not.
Very possible.
Yeah, they're not looking like they're going to finish this game. But hey, Don, I appreciate your call tonight. Great to hear from you. Appreciate that you're out there because I don't know if I'm in your shoes if I'm calling a show like this tonight because it's so tiring to just take these beatings night after night.
Yeah, I mean it's. If they were really, you know, if they were goofing off and not trying and they was losing by 2 here and there, or if we was going through one of them buzz streaks where we lost on last shot,
right,
6 straight games or something, they'd be worse than this. But guys are trying as long as, and we're playing shorthanded.
Yes, they are.
You know, I mean, Baltman's playing with a bum shoulder.
Yep.
You know, we're playing basically 6 players.
What kind of dog you got, Don?
That wasn't my dog. I don't have a dog.
Oh.
I don't know where that came from, but it wasn't from here.
Must be Gubbone's dog barking outside. Thanks, Don. Appreciate you. You can hear old Gubbone's dog. Gubbone must be in my neighborhood right now. He asked me one time, Keith, speaking of Gubbone, to watch my dog, watches the dogs for him. That son of a gun was gone for about 2.5 hours. I was fixing to go out there and give his dogs a 17-cent solution, brah. Back to the phones we go. 2 yippy dogs. He's got one of them. That thing never quits bitching. That thing bitched at me and bitched at me. And I was looking at that dog thinking, you know what? If I wanted this, I'd have married you. Let's go back to the phones.
I will say one good thing out of tonight, Tony. The odd lighting at the McHale Center in Tucson really does highlight accentuate the red highlights in Shannon Spake's hair. So at least we've got that going for us.
Boy, she is pretty. Go back to the phones. I love Shannon Spake. Of course, when you're my age, they all look good, but it's another story for another day. Let's get our next caller in here, except Gubbone's dog. Gubbone's dog doesn't look good to me. Especially that yippy dog. Good night. Let's get our next call in here. Hello and welcome.
What do you say, Tony?
Hey, Philly.
What's up, Phil?
Hey, Philly.
Close but no cigarette tonight, you know it.
Close but no cigarette, Philly. Yeah.
Guys, I mean, we knew we didn't have a point guard all year. I lost it. Not having a point guard lost this game. I mean, Josh has done a good job, but he's not a point guard.
No, and every once in a while in games, that'll rear its ugly head like it did tonight. Just complacent, lazy, passing at the ankles. Like Keith said, we're not a good passing team, but it's so sad, Phil, because we play so hard.
Yeah.
And yet, we didn't play stupid tonight. We really didn't. We just had a couple of moments there when they had their 8-point run, and they kept getting bounces tonight. That's another thing that's been happening to us this year, Phil.
Yeah. There's no margin of error for us.
None.
You know, we're just not that
We give away 6 points in that flurry right there, and this team's not constructed in a manner that it's going to be able to make that up.
Well, think about what you're asking the team to overcome. You're asking the team to overcome 9-minute stretch in the first half where you don't score. a point, and then you're asking a team to overcome a stretch where they just give up an 8-point lead in the matter of 55 seconds. That's just, this team's just not going to overcome that. They're just not.
Yeah, but if they're able to weather the storm in the first half, they're usually stay in the game. I mean, I thought we were getting ready to get blowed out the first of the game, the way the game started. And we, I guess Ole Miss, they weren't hitting too much. They were hitting a few threes, but they didn't put us away, and when we hung in the game. I think Ole Miss is pretty good, but the SEC is better than it was last year from top to bottom. But LSU is the second most talented team in the league, but they're probably the worst coach in the whole conference.
You know, Phil, this conference, they keep telling me how good it is. It looks like it. You've got Kentucky in this league and then a bunch of teams. That's what this league looks like to me, and we've been in most games. I think Texas A&M's got a nice team. And they played Kentucky pretty well. I'm not sold on Georgia. I'm not sold on Alabama, even though Alabama's up 2 right now on Georgia. I'm not sold on LSU. I don't think they're well coached. I don't think they play inspired. I watch them, and I just, they look to me like Jerry Green's coaching them, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree with that.
They look like they got a bunch of material and a team that is not coached, not pushed, not disciplined, no nothing.
And you look at the Arkansas, I guess they're the second best team in the league. Them or A&M, I don't know. What do you think? I mean, it's frustrating. It's probably going to be 2 years before we're at that level.
Yeah, I don't know, Phil. I think what Moody shows me with Ole Miss is if you go out and find one of those guys, and Tennessee's looking, they're involved with several pretty good junior college players, and they've got a couple other prep rank guys. I'm going to have an update on Monday on my blog. They remain active, and I think they're going to sign 3, Phil, in the spring.
Oh, really?
Yep.
They're going to sign 3?
Yes.
So you expect some attrition to the roster?
Yes, I am.
Hmm. Well, of course, and we don't even know what's going to happen with the NCAA either. So
that's all fun. That's a fun thing to think about on a night where I've been outside for like 20 minutes.
They did have a big guy from Chattanooga in here for the Kentucky game, so maybe they're in pretty good shape with him if Donnie can weather the storm.
Oh, I think the 2016 class is going to be very good, and I expect, Phil, I'm not going to say what I'm thinking. Yeah, I hope you're right. I hope he can weather the storm, too. I almost said I expect him to weather the storm. I'm not going to say that on the record.
No, it's Tennessee.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I stopped myself.
But,
yeah.
We got to beat Vandy Thursday night, guys. We can't afford. We've played bad pretty much. The Arkansas game is the only game we really played well at home. We didn't even play good against Auburn when we won.
Nope. Will you wear your black and gold, Phil? Because I'm calling for the fan base to wear black and gold Thursday and cheer for Vandy and create a road game atmosphere in Thompson Bowling. And we need to cheer like crazy for Vandy on Thursday night.
Oh, gosh.
Isn't it coming to that? Look, we're so much better. We're so much more loose on the road. We shoot the ball better.
Yeah, and Tennessee actually might have a chance to beat Florida. Tennessee matches up well with Florida. Even though Billy Donovan's a pretty good coach, I just hope it'll come down to at the end of the game. Florida's kind of like us, so they're snake bit at the end of the games.
Yes, they are. They did it today. Today they were getting blown out in the game. And again, I'm back to LSU. Keith, nobody gets less out of their roster than LSU is right now.
That's an awfully, awfully talented basketball team.
Yeah,
A whole bunch of coaches that get a whole lot of mileage out of that roster.
Wow. I mean, what could Tindall do with that roster? Heck, Konzo Martin could win 23 games with that roster. Shoot.
Oh, yeah, that's better than Team Konzo. That's considerably better roster than Konzo ever had here.
I don't hear any of the media talking too much about how great Konzo Martin is coaching this year, do you?
No, but he's back here in that
Atlanta. Then you guys haven't been listening to Adrian Branch.
What's he say, Keith?
Oh, Adrian Branch the other night I remember they were getting their ass kicked by somebody at halftime, but he was still talking about what a great job Konzo was doing. It was utterly ridiculous.
Hmm. Well, I thought he had a pretty good team. Cal left for him, and he's...
Yeah, he did.
You know, I mean, it's probably better than the one that Bruce Pearl left him, you know what I mean?
I would agree with that.
So where we go from here, guys, just got to hope Donnie Tindall survives and get some ball players. Donnie Tindall can find players. I mean, he look what he did last year in 1 month. I mean, the staff, I think Al Pinkins is a good recruiter, too. We just got to find somebody that's a big-time scorer. Hopefully it's a point guard. And I'd like to get a big man, too, but I'm not being greedy. If we get a point guard, I'd be most happy guy around.
And the guy that I'm counting on to take the next step next year is Mostella. Boy, they got a lot of work to do with him in the offseason. He looks really lost right now. It's really discouraging how lost he looks. And it's one thing to miss some shots as he's been and he hadn't been hitting a shot. Keith was right. Tonight, his time on the floor, and that's when the swing happened, his time on the floor tonight was, I mean, let's just call it what it was. It was brutal.
He's getting worse instead of better.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Well, he's tentative now. It's obvious that he's not remotely aggressive. I mean, the only time he's aggressive is if somebody leaves him wide open, he's still going to shoot it. But as far as handling the ball or defensively or going to the boards, he's just completely tentative right now, and you can't play that way.
So, Keith, you got a basketball show on Fridays?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard for me to make work in. I hate to... Is it archived on
Basilio?
Yeah, it is.
It's archived.
Everything?
Yeah, it's up there. He has some great guys on, Phil. A lot of coaches, writers.
Well, good. I actually heard a Lambert on Clone Show the other night. It's pretty comical, you know what I mean?
For some reason, Clone Show didn't make the archive this week. Interesting. 4 past the hour, 865-200-5402.
We're talking about a team that's out of gas. Cincinnati is out of gas.
Yep.
Playing without their coach. You know, I think it's finally caught up to them.
Yep. And they're tripping right at the line, too. Hey, this is a big game for Georgia right here. 16-9 overall. Chance to win a game on the road here.
See, and I normally have great respect for Joe Lenardi. But how on earth can you be doing a projection today and say that Georgia is a 9 seed?
That's incredible. You know what that shows you, Keith? That
how bad the field is?
That you got it. You completed the thought. That's exactly what it shows me. Let's go back to the phones. Thank you, Philly. Great hearing from you, man. Always good to hear from the mayor of SoNo as we get ready to go back to our phones.
How about them having to cancel their district tournaments in basketball around here, Tony? The weather has really not been very fun this week.
Keith, longest week of my life, literally. Literally. They told us today that it was going to snow overnight and that it was going to warm up and everything was going to be a slushy mess this afternoon. We've got ice on our hill right now outside.
Yeah, I don't think it probably got
39, 40
degrees downtown and melted some of it, but it's certainly not all gone.
No, it's a mess, man. It is a mess.
More than we didn't get the rain they said we were going to get it either.
No. Let's go back to our phones.
I think I need to have a conference with our girl Ella about the weather today.
Interesting. Why couldn't you have a conference with Matt Hankin or Todd Howe?
Well, Hankin scares me. He looks like the Green Goblin from Spider-Man comic books. He scares me.
No, you know who Hankin's morphing into? Hankin is morphing into the gentleman from England that was in WWE there for a while. Oh, God, what's his name?
Finley?
No. You're going to laugh when I say it to you. Dave?
Oh, yeah, the guy who... He was Regal's tag.
Yes! Regal, I'll get it. He's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. I can see his face, but Tennessee basketball has happened to my brain. Let's get our next caller in here. Hello and welcome. By the way, Georgia-Alabama 61 all, 10 seconds left on ESPN2 going to a thrilling finish.
You have to read that and miss free throws.
Yes. Let's go to the phones. Hello.
What's up, fellas? It's Smitty. How you doing?
Hey, Smitty.
It shows a lot about Ole Miss. I really despise Ole Miss athletics as a whole. I mean, you know, Andy Kennedy's been there for, what, 8 years? He's been to the tournament one time. I mean, if that was going on here, that guy would have been long gone a long time ago. I mean, it wouldn't have lasted very much. The NIT doesn't cut a year. And that guy got, I mean, he got out coached tonight, plain and simple, as he does most games.
He loved playing. Hey, and by the way, Matt Hinken looks like Steven Regal. He loved playing the for some reason a man-to-man defense on a team that couldn't navigate a zone in a million years. But he kept doing it tonight. He kept doing it tonight.
Well, he also likes playing against teams that can't win more than six games in the non-conference. So that's kind of what hurts him every year, which I don't understand. You know, they just they drive me crazy. I mean, their fans don't know a lick about basketball, and yet they, you know, they run their mouths every day. You know, they had their best year in football in probably the school's history, and they went 9-4, I think it was, or something like that. So really doesn't say much about them. You know, I could care less about those guys. But, I mean, it's a pretty good game, and I think Josh took a really good shot, even though, you know, punter was open. I wish, though, that he would have, instead of pump faking, I wish he would have just gone up with the shot, and Moody would have fouled him, if they would have called that foul, more than likely, and that would put Josh at the line with two shots. I think that, that may have been the best thing that could have happened instead of him passing the ball. When he pump faked, he should have just kind of leaned into him and taken the foul.
I think you're right. Keith agrees. He looked like he had a lane there, but, you know, it's hard for me to fault Josh Richardson for anything he does. Of course, in frustration, we all get mad. We all get angry. We just want to see these guys do well and enjoy a good moment, especially after the week we've had around here.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it was a great, I mean, he had a good shot. It was a good look. That's his shot, kind of foul on extended wing shot. You know, that's what he's best at. That 15-foot jump shot, and you can't fault him for that, and you can't fault punter. You can't. Everybody executed correctly on that final play, and, I mean, that's the second time this year that we've been on the road and had a shot to win it or tie it, and, you know, weren't able to get the win. But, all right, guys, I'll talk to you later.
Thanks,
Matt. Have a good night.
Hey, man, appreciate you thinking of us tonight. Thank you, brother. 865-200-5402. It's hard for me, Keith, to get on Tindall, just like it was hard for me during a football season to get on Jones. I do think, and a guy asked me earlier, how come I don't get on Tindall? He said, you've got a bias toward Tindall over Jones, and a guy on Twitter tonight, and that's just not the case at all. The reality is, I do think Donnie Tindall is a better in-game coach than Jones is, and case in point tonight, the backdoor call that they came with after the timeout to Willie Carmichael when they got that ball on offense was absolutely one of the prettiest plays we've had all year, Keith.
Perfectly designed. No, I think, and it's something that was set up. Certainly they've run the same thing all day, and it's set up, so that's obviously showing that, okay, here's what we're doing. We're designing something that later in the game we can get back to a counter if they defend it a certain way, and that's coaching.
Tennessee now off for 5 days. They're back at it Thursday night, 7 o'clock tip here in Knoxville, Vanderbilt in Thompson Bowling Arena, and I'm calling for us to go black and gold. Black and gold. By the way, Vol Colonel says he thinks Matt Hinken looks like Jim Bob Walton. I think that Todd Howe looks like Jim Bob Walton, Vol Colonel. So maybe we have a couple of earnest-looking sportscasters. Let's go to the phones. 865-200-5402. Let's grab our next call tonight. Tennessee, a 59-57 loser. And Tennessee has now lost how many, Keith? 7 of 8, 8 of 9. What's the number now? I'm losing track here.
Isn't that 6 of 9, I think? 6 of 8.
6 of 8.
Like that.
Yeah, that's bad.
We were 4-1. Now they're, what, 6-8?
One thing about us, though.
7 of 9.
One thing about us, though, we knew the bill was coming due. We knew the back end of that schedule was not going to be easy. We knew the bill was coming due. We didn't know. I don't think any of us realized that we would take our lumps at home to the degree we have. And that's kind of put Tennessee in a precarious spot here. Tennessee needs to win at least two more to sew up an NIT bid, in my mind.
Well, I don't think two wins gets them in the NIT, Tony. I don't think just a winning record will be enough.
Really?
No.
Beano said that Friday. Why do you think that? We draw well.
Look, last year the worst team in the NIT last year was West Virginia at 17-13 with wins over people like Kansas and Oklahoma and a handful of NCAA
teams. Wow,
I don't think a 16-14 resume gets you in. If all you want are the two home games, and say you go down and split in the SEC tournament and are 17-15.
Yeah, but we're a good draw, and they want in that second round Konzo coming to Knoxville.
Oh, I don't think there's any way Tennessee would be seated where they'd play a home game.
Darn it. I'd really start urinating me off.
Well, because I think what happened, one thing Tennessee's got to hope for is that all of the favorites win the smaller conferences, because the regular season champions in those conferences, if they don't win their conference tournament, get an automatic bid to the NIT.
Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in here. Hello and welcome.
What do you say, TB? What do you say, Keith?
How's it going?
It's Jack. Hey, great effort tonight by the boys from the Baller Vols. Just rimmed in and out. I mean, that's all it was. I mean, we played a little sloppy at the beginning of the game, but all in all, I think it was a great effort. I mean, this team plays obviously better on the road. It was just a back and forth game. I mean, we got the 8-point lead, and we just had some sloppy mistakes. It hurt, and we could have kind of put that game away. But I was gonna see what you guys thought about that late game call when they went back to the TV monitor and look at the monitor and watch. What was that?
What did you think of it?
I thought it was a terrible call.
It was atrocious.
I saw the guy hit his fingertips out of the guy's hand, and it went out of bounds. That's what I saw.
Keith, let's get legal here. And let's talk about the letter of the law. When I say to you, indisputable video evidence, Keith, in legal terms and in terms of the sport and what they're gunning for, what does that mean to you?
Well, that's designed to overturn a call that's just clearly erroneous. That's to save an official who may have gotten a bad angle on a play or something.
Okay.
And just flat miss something.
Did you find that call completely erroneous? Because it looked like a 50-50 deal to me. You could have called it either way. And I've been conditioned to believe through replay, which I hate in every sport, by the way. I despise replay. With every fiber of my being, I despise it. I hate it. And the reason I hate it is in college football, they look at things and they get them wrong. In the NFL, they look at things and I think it's fixed sometimes. In baseball, they even miss calls looking at things in replay. And all it does is it slows all these sports down. And somebody mentioned this on Twitter. Another thing that it does is you now have officials in every sport that are just officiating to the replay. And so what is the point? Why not just let each team call their own fouls and then we'll use replay? I mean, what's for the close calls? I didn't like it at all. Keith, did it look to you like a 50-50 ball? Like I think it was.
I would not want to have been the person trying to discern who that ball did or didn't go off of.
Hey Tony, the call before
should have stood, whatever it was.
Yes, it should have stood.
Tony, do you think it's part of the reason like college basketball and like the refs these days, they kind of want the attention towards them? Like we saw a couple weeks ago when Teddy Valentine came to Thompson Bowling Arena, I forget what game it was. Might have been Mississippi State. I think that was in like some of the calls were just bogus. I mean, I'm starting to think some of these refs are just, they're just more into the attention more than, hey, let's call the game the right way. You know what I mean?
I totally agree with you from a standpoint of college basketball. There does seem to be some ham and egg officials out there that love having the spotlight on them. Valentine, though, I'll say this about him. When I talk to coaches throughout the sport, he's got a pretty good reputation as a pretty good referee, believe it or not.
He does. He does. But, I mean, Doug Schaus is another one that is he's a very sketchy referee. And I just think some of these guys, and they call it, there's too many tic-tac. And that's why college basketball is, going downhill.
Yeah, it's...
I think that's part of the reason, too, as long as, you know, recruiting, obviously, with the one-year NBA type of stuff. But I think referees are a big part of why college basketball is going downhill.
Mm.
That's just my opinion.
It's going to be an interesting next 5 years for college basketball. Surely they've got to get in, fix their sport, intervene, try some different things, do some different things. And I don't know what you do, because the NBA is not going to, they don't care. They're not going to cooperate.
Let's make freshmen ineligible so we can have a bunch of 5'7" white guys playing. That'll get everybody back in.
Interesting. Hey, I appreciate the call. Thank you.
All right, see ya.
Hey, great talking with you, man. 19 past the hour. Alabama now up 65-63 on Georgia. About a minute.
I think Georgia wants to go
on
spring break instead of making the NCAA tournament.
They look.
They're doing everything they can to play their way out of it.
Yep. Now they fought to get back in this thing, to get this thing to overtime. But you're right, Keith. 865-200-5402. I want to thank my friends at Smartway and Dalton Behring and Hydraulics. Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, ladies and gentlemen, online at daltonhydraulic.com. Serving you from Granger County, Tennessee, worldwide. Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, they don't come up short. They win every day. Last year, over 350,000 AC and DC hydraulic cylinders, hydraulic power units, they sold out of their location right up the road in Granger County, serving people worldwide, which is why they love advertising with us. We've got listeners tonight hearing us from all over your world tonight. Knox Tennis telling me tonight, sorry if I'm not one of your believers, but I call it the way I hear it. Hey, listen, man, you're entitled to your opinion. Your opinion's wrong, but you're entitled to your opinion. I don't shirk anybody that brings a criticism to me. I say, come on, call the show, man. Bring it in here like some dude last week did. I never set a false expectation on Butch Jones, nor did I on Donnie Tindall this year. I watched his first two football seasons happen, and have been, I think, pretty mild on him. Thus far, Donnie Tindall, hey, he gets through this NCAA situation, I think we're going to be fine in both sports going forward here. But let me say a word about Dalton Behring and Hydraulics. Listen, they have a knowledgeable, experienced staff going to go the extra mile for you, your hydraulic cylinder, hydraulic supply questions and needs, and anything that turns or makes mobile components work, along with the hydraulic cylinders and power units, Dalton Hydraulics, they will stock it. Dalton Behring and Hydraulic. Hoses, hose assemblies, fittings, couplings, hydraulic motors, thousands of bearings, Dalton Behring and Hydraulics. And then Smartway, ladies and gentlemen, hey, listen, everything for your home, pay your way. Professor Smarty can't be wrong. You can go today, pay in full, go 120 days, same as cash. Go out the door with it, or you pay the cash price in the first 120 days or 6 months. Choose lease, purchase, rent to own, where you're going to choose your payment amount and frequency, change it anytime you want without a hassle of a new agreement. You can change it on the fly. Smartway is going to do it your way. No stoppages in play. You can have a Jerry Green line change at Smartway, like he used to back in the day. And speaking of Jerry Green and line changes, as I remind you that Smartway is online at gosmartway.net. They also have anything for your home, furniture, appliances, electronics. They even have cell phones. They even have tires there. Changing the way you shop at Smartway. Hatfield, Roy Williams, he didn't go into Jerry Green territory today, But he got all over those Regal fans today at North Carolina. He was ill after that game, wasn't he?
He was not terribly happy. I love that the North Carolina Sports Information Office didn't put any of that rant into their official post-game quotes sheet. How hilarious is that? Oh, yeah, our coach, we know this is the age of information. So we all know that you know that our coach came into the media room and ripped the hell out of our fans. But we're going to pretend that didn't happen. It's no Beavis and Butthead. That was like other coaches, sir. Nonsense.
Wow. You know, in this day and age, too, when you are disingenuous and dishonest with a fan base and with the media, it just sticks out like a sore thumb now, rather than just owning it. The guy blew up after the game. The guy's human. In Regal world, though, you can't be human, say. In Regal world, we got to pretend like Mike Krzyzewski doesn't have a potty mouth, and his kids don't have potty mouths, and his wife doesn't have a potty mouth, and they just sit behind the bench and cuss people out all day. It's what they do. It's how they roll. And Roy Williams, I mean, he won't give anybody over there. I know some local media people. He won't give them a time of day. He's like a king. But he gets in front of the camera, and he goes, golly gee, and aw, shucks. And hey, anybody that runs
cries
around...
Cries every year.
Cries all the time.
Yep. When he gets beat by a double-digit seed in the NCAA tournament.
Yep. Guy's a John Boehner of college basketball. Let's go back to the phones. He likes to cry on cue. I wish I could cry like that. Because I would do a lot of crying with between the sports teams that I have right now that are currently in season, like my Volunteers, like my Temple Owls, like my Philadelphia Flyers, like my 76ers. There's a lot of crying in my house that goes on, like my Eagles in their postseason. Let's go back to our phones. Nothing else, Tony. Yes.
That bizarre Tennessee wrestling memory show with Dr. Tom and that other guy. Apparently they're going to delve in depth in their next episode into the feud between Pritchard and the Dirty White Boy. So at least we've got that to look forward to.
Josh Richardson tonight said, I would make that shot 18 out of 20 times, so I would shoot that shot every game. I like that show, Keith. I'm going to bring Pritchard on to promote that next week. I make that shot 18 out of 20 times, so I would shoot that shot every game. Josh Richardson just said a few moments ago. Good for you, Joshy. Good for you. Let's go back.
That's a great shot, though.
It's a great shot.
The only reason I have any issue with it is just philosophically, I think unless you're the vastly superior team and you're on the road in that situation, I'd prefer a one-shot deal where if he kicks it out to punter, punter's shooting the ball, and we either win or lose right there. But as far as the quality of the shot, I got no qualms about that shot whatsoever.
Back to our phones we go. Kevon Looney is going off right now for UCLA. 13-0 start on Arizona in the second half in that one, Keith. And St. Mary's...
Alford will screw it up.
St. Mary's up 20-9 on Zaga early. Let's go back to our phones and get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony, it's Pearl.
Hey, Pearly, welcome.
Hey, long time no talk, man.
Good talk to you, man. Glad to hear you out there.
We're headed back to Auburn here from Lexington. And just a couple of quick things there. That Calipari, he's a real prick, you know? Beat me 35 tonight. cried a little bit after the game. Keep me in mind if that job comes open up there. But Donnie Tindall's doing a hell of a job.
Do you want the job back, Coach Pearl?
Yeah. If it comes open, keep me in mind. Donnie Tindall, he's doing a hell of a job. But cried a little bit tonight, you know. Miss it. Miss K-Town.
What about the Memphis job, if it comes open at the end of the year? Would you entertain that?
Oh yeah. I'd entertain that just like any other job. You always listen. Flirted with me a little bit here.
Yeah, you tried to get involved with that. I remember you tried to get involved with that. Yep.
Yeah, but you know, my heart's in Big Orange Country.
That's
no doubt about it.
I'm glad to hear that, Coach. Yeah. I would say we miss you. I really kind of don't, but it was interesting tonight. You're not going to win 20 games this year, are you, Coach?
No, we don't have a chance. You know, I told the guys before the game, there's no way we can beat this team. And they responded well. You know, responded just like I thought they would.
Yeah. you know, 35 point final. You just came up just a little short in that one.
Yeah, you know, you try to motivate them different ways, and, you know, lesson learned there. Tony, I'll never try that again.
Thank you, my friend. Great talking to you.
Yeah, I wonder, can you imagine what the Pearl Sheep would have done if Konzo had ever before a game told his players they had no chance to win?
Wow. You think Bruce Pearl will try to get